chaplains in America are older than the nation. This includes military chaplains and legislative chaplains. In fact, when the ACLU challenged the chaplain program in the early 1980s, the Supreme Court ruled against them because of the historical reality of the whole chaplaincy program, which predated the writing of the Constitution in 1787 and even our becoming a nation in 1786. How important are chaplains to the military specifically, and what is the role that they play? Dr. Bob Freiberg is a retired seminary professor who's been active as a chaplain in the Navy for 7 years. He's quite knowledgeable about the whole history of chaplains. And he joins us now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Chaplain Freiberg, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Well, my pleasure, Jerry. Thank you.
First of all, tell us about, just kind of give us a global answer to that question, how important are chaplains in general? And then we could talk about you personally, and then we can get back into chaplains and the history of chaplains in America, especially military.
Okay. That's a big mouthful right there. Essentially what happens, you referred to that lawsuit that was going on. Let me just, because of my 27 years of Navy experience as a chaplain, let me just kind of tell you the background is that, of course, legislative and through our Constitution in the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law for the establishment of religion, nor prohibit the free exercise thereof. And if you go out in the middle of the ocean, what happened there is that you go in the middle of the ocean and you can't, you know, all of the people that you have on the ship can't go to the captain and say, oh, captain, when I was back home, I could just go to the local church and just go there. But if you're in the middle of the ocean, you can't go to the captain and ask him to stop by and stop at your local church. So instead, what happens is essentially the just by filling the mission of the military, you're taken away from your local church, your family, and everything. And so what happens is the best solution is to bring the chaplains with them. And even in the Navy, one of the very, very first things, if you ever look in the correspondence going back and forth, one of the things that they understood is that there's no freedom of religion. And so, you know, the First Amendment is kind of taken away and all the privileges of free exercise of religion. So that's why the chaplains are there to provide the free exercise of religion, no matter where they are. And of course, the Army and the Air Force have the same thing when they go on deployments. They don't have any religious access to their worship. And so that's one of the reasons why you have chaplains that come along with all of the commands.
Okay, and how important is the role that chaplains actually play?
Well, I can just say from personal experience that there's all facets of life, and you know, when God made us, He made us a physical creature, but He also made us spiritual creatures. And so there's an aspect and dimension that psychologists, doctors, and everybody can't go. And that's the purview and the place where chaplains can go, because spiritually we are made in the image of God. And for that reason, that's why chaplains are put there, so that we can answer spiritual questions. For instance, you know, I still remember we were getting ready to go to war against Iraq, and we were going to enter into it. And I was on a carrier at the time, and I still remember there was a lot of very, very frightened sailors. And for about a day and a half, I had about 12 to 14 sailors right outside my office door on the carrier. And as we went into there, there's a lot of, you know, people that were frightened, people that, you know, they wanted to know what should happen if I die, what should, you know, my wife back home is having problems. And those are all issues that I can deal with. And chaplains usually, all chaplains, one of the things that they have to have in the military is three years of pastoral experience. And they're also ordained. And also the other thing that they have is seminary training. At least they got to have a Master Divinity degree. Those are the things that are needed. And those experiences from the parish or from the church are brought into the military to help out help out all the people that are in the military going through the deployment.
And why did you personally become a chaplain, and has it been rewarding, and how long have you been a chaplain?
Oh, well, what happened with me is basically I was thinking, I taught science in a Christian high school, and I happened to have a Master Divinity, and so when I worked in a Christian high school, when I taught science, I taught it from a biblical perspective, and that goes through creation and you know, even answering questions as far as what science is found in the scriptures. But I was just kind of sitting there and praying one time, and then I realized that I was in my early 30s, and I realized that what happened is God had given me a wonderful family and a life. And how do I repay that? I was in the ministry, you know, as a Christian teacher. But the thing is I also realized, I said, how can I help my country? And what had happened is we had the Navy had just done something in the town that I lived in. The Navy had just come by with the Blue Angels, and I thought that was really cool. And the things that I like about the Navy is they got better toys than the Army and the Air Force. You know, those guys either have tanks or they either have tanks or airplanes. But the thing is, the Navy has everything. Plus, they got ships. And I'd always liked going to sea and all that stuff. So I figured, how can I serve my country? How can I kind of go through these things and basically serve God and country at the same time? So that's when I went ahead and I called the local recruiter and I told him my background. He says, well, you could probably go in as a Navy chaplain because of your ministry experience. At that time, I had been assistant pastor of a church for about 4 years. So anyways, I went in and I haven't looked back since. I mean, it was a fun ride. I did it for 27 years, and I did 4 years as a reservist and 23 as active duty. And throughout that time, what had happened is I had been with the, I had spent 3 tours with the Marines, because Marines are part, they won't mention this, but the thing is they're a part of the Navy. They're a department of the Navy. And I always tell people, I said, what is the second oldest corps in the Navy? Of course, the first answer is the Marines are the first, are the oldest corps. The second corps is the chaplain corps. And that's because they realized that even back then, when they went out to sea, they had to do worship services out at sea. And usually at that time, if a ship did not have a chaplain on it, the captain would end up. And one of the first things that they have in the charter of the Navy is that they would hold a worship service or prayer time at least once a week, but preferably every day. And so I went out and I became a chaplain. And then I was with, like I said, I've spent 3 years with the Marines throughout the years. I've got 7 years at sea on ships with destroyers and also with carriers. And I've spent a tour with the other sea services, such as the Coast Guard. And one of my favorite, most fun one was when I was the command chaplain with the Navy SEALs, and that was fun. But also, you know, I've been exposed to a lot of different, I've been in 35 different nations. I've had a chance to do, we call them community relations projects. We'd go into these countries, these nations, and I'd go on the ship and it said, we can go in and visit orphanages and kind of help build up some of these structures. And we did some pretty significant things in some countries all around the world. And sailors got an opportunity to kind of see how other people live, but also to help things like orphanages and food kitchens and things like that. So, You know, all that are part and parcel of the things that the chaplains would do on a ship.
So it sounds like a very rewarding role that you've been able to play. So what would you say to those who say, well, you know, the separation of church and state, why do they even have chaplains? And, you know, it sounds like they really do play an important function. And of course, the fact is the founding fathers wanted chaplains before they even, you know, we became a nation.
Well, of course, and I'm speaking in the aspect of a chaplain for peace and at war. At peace, like I said, we would go around and help other nations. We'd go in and have community projects. But also, and when you come to wartime, you know, there's no such thing as an atheist in the foxhole. And I really found that to be true when I was in Iraq, when I was with the Marines. One of the things that we have is people, they have questions about life and death. And again, you know, the thing, the United States does not support any certain specific religion. And that's one of the beauties of what we have. Now, like in England, of course, you know, that you got church and state, and church and state are founded in the king. But in this case, they're separated. So the United States cannot have or ordain its own chaplain. So what they have to do is they go to the local churches, they go to civilian sector. And in the civilian sector, what happens then is you are vetted. And like I said, I gave you before some of the criteria that you have to be a military chaplain. But the thing is, the beauty of it is then at that point, when you go into the Navy, you are representing your specific faith group. You're representing either a denomination or a local church. And the bottom line in that is to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the early part of our history, if you go through, you will discover that I have a good friend that used to be at the schoolhouse in the Army, and he did some research, and he found out that 80% in the in at least New England, 80% of the people who were the chaplains in Washington's Army, they were converts to George Whitefield. Well, of course, did the early. As we know, during the Great Awakening, but many of those people that were saved under his ministry, they ended up going and becoming pastors. And at pastors, they became chaplains for Washington's Army. And so the point is that I'm saying in all of this is that, you know, people who say there's a separation of church and state, there is a freedom to preach and teach Jesus Christ by these chaplains that go into the military. And all that is done through the fact that these are civilian pastors that the military has hired to preach and teach the gospel to those that are in the military.
So it sounds like it's a ripe and harvest field, or a ripe harvest field. I understand that you write a daily devotional, and if anybody wanted to drop you an email at bob@morningblessings.org. You'd be happy to put them on that list. And we have about maybe half a minute for you to describe that.
Oh, okay. What I do, I just do this for grins and chuckles. And what it is many people need to know and understand a little bit about history, because what I put into it is a little bit about military history, a little bit about Rome, ancient Rome, and American history as far as the Revolutionary War and a little bit of Civil War and modern times. I put in a little history lesson. I put a scripture lesson in it. And what that does then is I have an application from those, so that it's kind of a blessing for people, kind of a mini devotional.
All right. That's very good. And people could get that at bob@morningblessings.org. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us, Chaplain.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Okay.
All right.
God
My
bless
pleasure.
You now. Bye-bye.